Okay, next question. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hey. Go on.
Hello. Oh, okay. You're on. I didn't know I was on. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing real good. This is Billy out of Detroit.
Hey, Billy.
Got a question for you. I have I put together a virtual event with a bunch of speakers, and the subject, ironically, was on list building. So I put a panel together of about 13 people, and the goal was to have the speakers promote to their list. And it's very difficult sometimes to get that many people to follow through and do the promoting that you would want them to do. I didn't use the seminar series as a product launch, so I'm going to do another one, and wanted to know, is this a viable way? Can I use a product launch form, you think, to promote my new teleseminar series that I'm going to be doing in a couple of months, even though I don't have a list yet?
Right. Yeah, Billy, you know what? One of the toughest things to do is a lot of times people, they'll think, and they'll do this either as a virtual or as a live seminar, invite a lot of people and then hope those people promote. And they almost never do.
Right.
Because they're like, and just to be totally blunt, it's like, so you want me to promote to my list to listen to me when I can just, and give you half the money when I can just go ahead and promote my, I can get on the phone and do a teleseminar for my people without you. That's what's going through their head. I'm not saying it's accurate, but that's going through their head.
Well, let me back up, Joe. Here's what I did. I'm obviously recording all of the interviews and making the upsell of the transcript and the audio available to those who subscribe to the event, and I'm giving the lion's share of the cost of what they pay for. I'm giving that the lion's share to the speakers. So really, I'm not going to really profit that much from. So really, they're getting the lion's share of everything that's coming through. So I was trying to make it, obviously it was a free event, but I was trying to make it as equitable as possible.
Yep.
For the speakers for their time. So I wasn't doing it for free, expecting them not to get anything from it. So I thought that might be a good way to help compensate them for their time.
Well, let's step back and let's just try to rejigger this a little bit.
Okay.
This is the way I would do, because I had this worked on me. Harris Feldman did this to me.
Right.
And when I say did it, I mean Harris is a buddy of mine. The guy's bright, and I like him a lot. But what he did was he somehow convinced someone do a teleseminar with him and mail their list aggressively. And this would probably be someone, you'd have to find someone who, has got a list but is not doing a real good job of monetizing it. And so this is the first person. You have to strategically pick that first person. And so if somehow you could get that person to mail, they're mailed to a squeeze page. It's your squeeze page, and then you're gonna, then you get that. You're gonna put that person on a call, or maybe even do two calls with them. Do maybe really a pure content one, and then another one. Make it a series, and make the second one content, but also pitches a product that they have that they're not doing a real good job of selling. And maybe you give them 100% commission. You're like, I'm just going to help you pull some money out of your list. I'm a great interviewer. Bill, you got a great voice, and we're going to sell your product, and you can keep all your money. All that I want, you mail a list. I'm going to follow up with them for you. I'm just really starting to get a toehold here, and so I'm willing to give you 100%, and we're going to sell some product for you. So say you get that one person that you strategically picked. Now you've got yourself a list. I mean, even if it's only a few hundred people, you got yourself a list. Now you go to Speaker B, and you go to Speaker B and say, "Hey, I want to interview you, this is what we have to, what has to happen to really make this work. You have to email your list, and maybe you specify email your list twice or something like that, or even three times, whatever you think you can get away with. But you have to, hit your list. Here's some copy for you. I want you to use. So write some good copy." Maybe they'll use it, maybe they won't. And you say, you email your list, I'll email my list. we'll get on, we'll do 60 minutes, and then, you know, we'll pitch him on one of your products. And here, you know, you can say everyone that came from your list, so you just want to sweeten the pot as much. Everyone who came from your list that you sell to, you keep 100%, and I'll just keep, you know, we'll split, you know, 50-50 on what I generate to my, you know, to my list. So this way, you're bringing something to him. You're bringing additional sales, additional listing, even if it's a small list. But now the second person, now he's emailing and he's putting people on your list too. So now you got twice as many people. And then you can see how you can just go from person to person. And nowhere in here are you selling it as like a 12-part series or a 13-part series. You're doing individual emails with each individual person, and you're bringing your list to it along with their list. You're using it to build your list. And at the end, you know, you might end up with, you know, 10,000 people on your list, and now you can market the whole darn series to them as a product.
Never thought of doing it that way. That's a good way of doing it.
Yeah, it's always a chicken and an egg type of thing, and getting that first person. So, like, if you know someone, you know, you become buddies. Maybe you've gone to an event, became buddies with someone, you help someone out some way, so, or you just find that person that really needs. You know, they've got a list. Maybe they got the list, but maybe their sales are a bit stagnant. You can bring them a fresh outlook and a fresh teleseminar. They'll sell to them, and maybe you do give 100%. But it's just getting that first person or two. And this is what Harris Feldman, somehow Harris, I forget who he convinced, but he convinced some fairly big name. I don't know how he got this person to do it, but that fairly big name promoted, and so he started to build a list. And he came to me, he's like, oh, look who I did. I did big name A, and then, he got big name B and C to do it because of big name A. So I've already done calls with big name A, big name B, and big name C, and I built up this list, and let's do a teleseminar. You mail your list, I'll mail my list, and we'll make some sales for you.
Actually, I think it was Mark Joyner.
Yeah, it could have been Joyner, and or for some reason, Jay Conrad Levinson sticks in my head. I don't know if that was accurate or not. But,
So what you're saying is get that one person first, and then maybe interview them twice. Maybe the first interview is all content. Then the second interview will be content. Plus, we're going to look at selling a product of theirs or something at the end of that of that interview and pitch. And they keep 100 because really I'm in it for the list. I'm not in it for the the money at this point right now. But I'm really doing it for the long term of building a list.
Yep. And the other thing to do is start building a list like the other ways I'm teaching right now. So you're also bringing something, you know, because that like we started out, the way they're going to look at it is like, okay, this person wants me to email my list and sell to my list when I could already sell to my list. And so that's going to be in the back of their head, so they're going to be reluctant to sell. But if you say, you know, I'm bringing a list too, and you bring your list, and let's make some money on this teleseminar, then, And when I say two calls to start with, you know, you don't have to do it that way, but I'm just looking – how can you bring some extra value? I mean, Rich Sheffrin did this to me. Like, he calls me up, and I've been selling PLF for a while, the original version. He's like, hey, I've got this list. He didn't tell me the list was ice cold and hadn't been mailed in 2 years. But he's like, hey, I've got this list. How about I mail my list? We're going to do 3 calls with you. The first 2 are going to be pure content, and the third one we'll pitch them. Okay? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And so we did that. We didn't make a fortune, but we did okay. But what Rich did, he used that because it was right before he was going to come out with his first big launch. He used it to pick my brains for 3 calls and learn all about the product launches and develop a relationship with me. And then he came back to me and said, hey, can you give me a hand on my launches? And, I mean, you know, that's thinking strategically. I didn't know about any of that beforehand. But he sort of came in with their irresistible offer. If I've got this list of 20,000 people, I want to mail them 3 times, get on the call, 3 calls with you, and then, you know, let's make some money.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's always it's thinking strategically and picking your first one or two very strategically, and then what can you bring to the table? And it could definitely work because Harris built a really nice business out of that.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. Thanks, Jeff.
Oh, you're welcome, Billy. Okay, next one is another anonymous caller who I don't know. Hello?
Hey, Jeff, this is Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, I wanted to know, just with the product launch, the event, it'll be in Denver, right?
The
when you hold the the product launch certification?
Right. It's actually going to be in Los Angeles.
Okay. Oh, and do you know if it'll be towards the beginning of July, the end of July?
It'll be the middle. I think it's going to be. The dates are locked, but let's see. I think it's going to be the 15th through the 19th of July, if my calendar's accurate.
Okay. So, and just, you know, so Grant knows that it's definitely a viable business because since October, you know, that's essentially what I've started doing. And I've been doing 12.5% on the net rather than on the gross, but it's pretty, you know, I mean, I've gotten myself into a situation where I'm not going to bore everybody with the details, but when I was diagnosed with cancer, I'd moved from Florida back to Iowa, so I got caught without any insurance. And I've had the pleasure of paying for the whole thing out of pocket and got through all of my savings. And I've gotten to the point where, you know, I mean, I've got to make about $4,000 a week, and I've been able to do it just doing launches. And another thing I was just going to – is it okay if I mention a specific URL? It's not mine. It's somebody – Frank Kern actually has a testimonial up with him. And
sure.
It's a launch that that we're doing it's in pre-launch right now, and we're starting the launch – next week. It's with Mike Swanson at WallStreetWindow.com. The first launch, he did the first one all by himself. It was in October of last year. And he started launching on one of the days when the Dow was down like $600,
mm-hmm.
and he brought in $90,000. In January, I came in with him and we did the launch together. That one brought in $200,000. Then we had an idea that didn't work out very well, but we tried, you know, just our own little internal launch about 8 weeks ago, and that one brought in $20,000. But we've just started doing, the real launch, I guess. And so if anybody, you know, wants to go ahead and join his list and, if they have any suggestions on things I could do better or anything like that, I'd love to hear any feedback anybody has on the
cool.
on the launch that I'm running with him.
How can they reach you?
Just do Brandon Fredrickson
mm-hmm.
at Yahoo.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
And that's, you know, another thing I was, for lists, if people are thinking to build a list, something else where people can go and they're able to get a lot of attention is if you think in terms of, you know, a lot of people talk about this, but talk about the psychographics of who you're going after.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one thing I've done to help people build lists, for example, in the stock market is advertise in, you know, make money from home type places and home business type places.
Yep.
Because it's a place where you'll get a lot of fresh people that, that none of your competitors have brought into the market yet. And so it makes it easier for you to get joint ventures with people too, because they know you have, you know, brand new names that you can bring to the
right.
Bring to the fold too. So
right.
You have
yeah,
to think.
You,
like,
you, yeah, you mentioned that last week in terms of the advertising.
Yeah, the newspapers.
Yeah,
because I'm terrible at online lead generation. I just when I try Google AdWords and things like that, I burn through money, and so I have to do other stuff that works for me, and that's another way that I've gone about it. So that was it.
Yep. Okay.
For me. So thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Brandon. It's interesting that Brandon mentioned, you know, there's different ways, obviously, to do these deals when you're doing launches for other people. He mentioned basing it off of net. We've generally done gross, but I take that back. There are deals out there where you can go in and get 50% not of sales or of net, but 50% ownership. And these deals, or 50% of sales. I mean, with people, you know, when they have something that's ready to go, that's hot, but they don't know how to bring it to market, you know, it's just what they're giving away is sort of theoretical money, because they're like, you know, they don't have the money in their pocket, and they don't have the money in their pocket. So basically, what you're saying is, you know, just give me a portion of your found money, you know. Just, you don't have any money. You might do $100,000 or $90,000 or $20,000 like Brandon was talking about. You're not going to do that otherwise, so just give me a portion of that. So, you know, we've been doing these 15% deals with Amanda. So, and plus, we get a big, you know, we're getting $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 up front just to get on our calendar. Plus, then there's the retainer, the 15% or 20%. But, you know, other people are getting up to 50%. And I actually just recently did a deal where I'm getting 50%. And that's not, it's 50% ownership of the business. So, yeah, the opportunity is just huge out there. And there are different ways to do the deals, and of course we'll be teaching that and teaching the different, you know, exactly how to do it. And frankly, one of the biggest things is the client selection, because you end up having so many opportunities. It comes down to like making sure you pick the best clients, because you know, I only work with people that I like and I want to work with, and I think you should do the same. And you know, if you've got, you know, six people that want to hire you, you know, it's like picking which is the one you want to, and you have to pick the one that's gonna, that you, well, you obviously, I like to, you know, work with people I like, but I also want the one that's gonna go big. And so since you're getting paid a percentage, you obviously want to get in the big deals. So, client selection is a big one, and landing the clients and doing the deals, and then actually working with the clients to create the pre-launch content, working with the clients to create the launch. And there's a lot there, you know, which is why we're doing this full-out five-day training. But it's, like I said, the opportunity is just crazy. You know, I try to keep my ego in check, but when you're certified, you know, Jeff Walker certified product launch manager, it's like, you know, all of a sudden, even if you are already doing this, the rates you're going to be able to charge go way up, and the lead flow you're going to get goes way up. So, and that. Okay, next question. Let's see.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, Jeff, this is Michael from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful today. Jeff, I have a question, and it's around the list building. I bought the 2.0 version of Product Launch Formula.
Correct.
But I've not been able to do a lot with it. Recently, I started building my list using giveaway, and I think I have a couple of hundred people on my list now.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest for me to do? I don't have any product. What would you suggest for me to do now so I can make some money quickly, because I just lost my job. And I bought a bunch of programs that are on my ad drive, and
yep.
I need to
okay.
use them.
So you've got a couple hundred people on your list.
Yes.
What I would do, I'm assuming that's, you don't have to tell me what the topic is, but I'm assuming it's related to some type of topic.
Yes.
So what I would do is I would send them an email and tell them that, you know, that you really appreciate them being on the list, and that as something of a thank you, you're going to do a teleseminar. So you want to know what their top questions are about whatever the topic is.
Uh-huh.
Actually have them email back to you, or I just muted Michael there because of some background noise. So go to them, tell them that you're going to do this teleseminar, you want to know what the questions are. They can either respond to you via email, or you can send them to a SurveyMonkey thing, gather their questions, schedule a teleseminar, do the teleseminar, get the interaction going with them. Now that you've got some interaction going with them, you've built some goodwill up through the teleseminar, you know what their top 20 questions are. Just put together you can either do an ebook about those, you know, the answers, the number, you know, the top questions that people have, or you can do a coaching program. Say you're going to do three calls. It's going to cost, you know, $200, you know, for these three calls that will coach them through their biggest issues with whatever the topic is. Okay, and you know, doing an ebook is really cool, and you can make some money that way. But doing it via teleseminar is really easy, because then you're basically creating the product in real time, and you know, it's actually easier to do that than writing an ebook, and it has greater perceived value. So you could do a series of three calls for anywhere from, you know, 97 to 297 to, you know, depending. I mean, if it's 200 doctors and you're teaching them how to, you know, practice management for doctors, you could charge $1,000 for that, or $2,000. So it really depends on what your topic is. And then I would say keep on doing the list building that you're doing that got those 200 people, and try to turn that into 400 or 600 or 2,000 people. But the first thing you should do is send an email, get their top questions, drive them to a teleseminar, and then get on their build some relationship with them, and then follow that up with a product based on the number one questions, the burning questions that people have in that topic. Okay, next question.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you?
This is Joel Helfer from Northbrook, Illinois. Good afternoon. Thank you for answering the questions you had for me. I got the $64 question for you now. I run a coupon-based advertising website, and I sold an ad to a chain of pizza stores, and the guy gave me a list of 500 emails, and he said to me, make me a coupon, one coupon per week, and send it out to this list of 500 emails, people who have actually come into my pizza joint and fill out a little form that they want some offers from my store. And he says to me, if you can start getting people to come into my store and use these coupons, I have a chain of 78 pizza stores, and we'll all do this.
Okay.
I was all excited, and we set up some nice emails. We made up some nice coupons. I put his list up on Constant Contact. We sent out one email per week for 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Not one person came in with a coupon.
Wow.
We struck out 100%. We pitched a no-hitter in Chicago.
Wow. What kind of offers were you making with the coupons?
One offer was a $5 pizza. You come in and you get a pizza for $5.
Mm-hmm.
Another offer was 20% off on the check. A third offer was you get a free dessert of your choice. And then the fourth offer was my favorite offer. If I hear it again, I think I'm going to throw up, buy one pizza, get one free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old standard offers. And what we did is I have a real nice website, and we have some nice coupon base. It's free printable downloadable coupons people use to go in different places of business, not just restaurants, all types of places. And I've had some good success with it. But in this case, he gave me a list. He actually gave me a list of over 500 people,
mm-hmm.
and we sent out these offers, one offer per week for 4 weeks, and we sent it to the list, and we didn't get any response. Not one person. And now he thinks I'm a complete idiot.
Yeah. Do you know what the open rate was?
Yeah, the open rate was approximately 20%.
Wow. And did you put a deadline?
Yeah. The coupons were one. The offer was good for a 7-day period. So then we went back, and I said to them, you know, instead of sending out one offer per week for 4 weeks, why don't we redo this thing and make all four offers available at any time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, give them a deadline of like 1 week or 2 weeks, but they can use any one of the four offers to come into his restaurant, and we still didn't get a response. And what bothered me is he gave me all the emails, or these are people that actually went into his restaurant and filled out a form with their name and their email, and then we uploaded them on a Excel spreadsheet and threw them into a, you know, I didn't know about AWeber at the time. This is before I started with your program.
Yep, yep.
Of Product Launch. I didn't know about how to do this. We call it the, I'll plug them, it was the Rosati's Pizza Email Club. And they've got 78 joints. And he said to me, what he wants to do is he wants to put a fishbowl and some forms in every one of these 78 pizza places,
mm-hmm.
actually get them to download coupons and come into the different restaurants, and that would really be a nice sale for me. And I thought we would get some response, but I'm trying to figure out what we did wrong.
Right. Well, okay. So, and I'm surprised by the lack of response as well. Tell me about the emails. Are they fancy HTML emails?
They were nice and fancy, because actually what they were was it was an email from Rosati's Pizza, and in the email was the actual coupon, and it's a real nice coupon. It's a colorful coupon. And it has the name and the logo and the address and the phone number of the company. And it's in color and black and white. And it has all the offers on the coupon. And then it has a barcode with a tracking so we could track the coupon. Plus it has an expiration date. And then we told them that this was a special offer, and we sent them the email based on the fact that they had asked for the, you know, for additional offers when they went into the restaurant, and we were just complying for their requests. And this was a special offer only for the people who had signed up for it.
Mm-hmm. And this is a dine-in restaurant?
Yeah.
Okay. And so is the email coming from Mr. Rosati?
Email was actually coming from me. It was.
Okay.
I have one website called rewardchicago.com
mm-hmm.
coming from me. No, that's not true. Actually, we had Rosati's Pizza on this one. This one we actually had his logo and his address, and his name was coming like it was called the Rosati's Pizza Email Club.
And so, but like with the actual copy, like personal copy from Mr. Rosati?
The actual copy was, thank you for joining the Rosati's Pizza Email Club. Based on the fact that you wanted additional offers from Rosati's Pizza, we have given you 4 delicious offers, 1 per week. And here's the first offer. Please take this coupon into the restaurant and redeem it for your savings.
Okay. So I don't know. See, well, what I'm concerned with zero response, I don't know what's going on. But
neither. That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah. What I would go for, the first thing I would do is I'd say I would try super informal, and I would make it I would make it look like the top of it look like text, like just plain text, so not HTML, and it would be from Mr. Rosati. So let's say he's Mario. Okay. So it'd be hi name comma. Mario Rosati here. I know you stopped in my restaurant in the last. You recently stopped at my restaurant, and I really want to thank you for that. It's a family restaurant. It's been my pride and joy for X number of years, and I really value my customers. Now I'm not any big tech wizard, but from what I figured out is that I can actually send you emails and send you special coupons. I really don't know how this stuff works. I don't know if it's going to work, but I thought I'd make you just to stay in touch with you. I would send you some crazy, over the top offer that I figured let's call it an offer nobody could refer, an offer you can't refuse. And all you have to do, what I'm going to do for you is, and then specify the offer. All you have to do is print off this email. Make sure you print. There's a coupon. There's going to be a fancy coupon down at the bottom of this, and make sure that's printed out as well. Bring it in, and we're going to give you X. So I would make it very personal from him, sort of that aw shucks thing, why I'm communicating with you. Like a lot of the copy you spoke to me had a lot of passive voice in there, passive voice copy, which is just death to copy. Make it very personal, make it from him, make it look like a regular email from him, and see how that works. And really the offer you should make is a free pizza. That is the offer you should make, is a free pizza. Because if someone comes in, it's been a long time since when I was 16 years old, I was in the restaurant business. But I know the cost for pizza is next to nothing. And if they come in for a pizza, they're also going to order drinks and they're going to order a salad. And he's going to break even on that ticket. And he's going to create some action. And just try sending out to 20 people. Send in the free offer to 20 people and see what happens. And I know you're going to have a hard time selling that idea of a free pizza, but in reality, if you can turn someone into a repeat customer, breaking even on one ticket is going to be well worth it.
So, I don't even mind paying for the first 20 pizzas.
Yeah.
Because if I can get this to work, he's talking about 78 stores.
Right. So I would go with, there's this, I'm not going to be able to remember it right now. There's someone that does a really good job with this retail store type of stuff. I forget who that is. I'll try to dig that up and mention it on a later call. But I think if it comes from him, it's like everything in peel-off. It's turning into a narrative, turning into a story, not coming from a pizza stores don't send email. People send email, and so even though make it from him, make it, yeah, I'm not sure about this technology, but I thought I'd try this crazy thing. I really don't think it would work, but there's this other guy that's telling me it's going to work. So we sat down and thought of the craziest offer, and it was like, how can I do better than a free pizza? So just come in for a free pizza. You have to do it this week, because this is the time where we're going to take a look at this week and see if it actually works. Don't ever expect to get this offer again, because it is, truly a lunatic type offer, but, let's see what happens. And so just be real conversational in your copy. Make it look like a regular email from a regular person, and then put the fancy coupon down at the bottom.
Should I send out one email per person individually rather than do it through an autoresponder?
Yeah, I mean, if you can, depends if you how well you can see. I mean, if you can if you can segment your list and send it out to 20 or 25 people, then, or 100 people or whatever, I'd send it through the auto, probably send it through the autoresponder, because then it'd be a more valid test, and plus you'd get some open rate data. If you send the individual emails, it's slightly different than when you, if you do roll it out bigger. So I would try to send it through the autoresponder if you can segment your list like that.
It was a relatively small list. It was only about 500 people. But I figured with over a 20% opening rate, which wasn't bad.
No.
And, with 100 people looking at it out of 500, I figured somebody would walk in the door with it.
Right.
Know what I mean?
Yep. And remember, your open rate's always, the actual open rate's always higher than what it shows. So if it's showing 20, it could have been 25.
All right. We'll try it. I'm going to call this guy up, and I'm going to tell him that I'm taking a very sophisticated marketing course now.
Good.
And I'm going to tell him we come up with a new way, and we're going to try it again. We have nothing to lose, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Joel. Okay, I'm going to have to move through these a little quicker. I'm taking a little too long on them, but here we go. Hello, this is Jeff.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello?
Go on. You're live.
Hi, this is Amir from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
My question is this. I'm holding a three-day seminar for small business owners in Israel, and I'm a month away. Now, I did a launch for, a discounted rate.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was interesting, and I wanted to hear if you have an explanation for it, and then I wanted to get some suggestions on what to do next. What I had is I had 12 people sign up, which I thought was just a very small amount of people on the first day that I opened for registration, and that was on Monday. Since Monday, there were no registrations at all up until today. And today I just advertised that the discounted rate ends on Tuesday. So I have a few days just to run some more emails to get more people interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then the price goes up. So first, I want to understand why I had this just one day of activity, which wasn't huge activity. I obviously did something wrong there. And more important, I think, though, is that I'm still a month away, which is a long time, and I wanted to get some ideas on how to run towards this event. I want to eventually get about 120 people to sign up, and my list is just over 2,000 people right now.
Okay. Pulling 120 people out of 2,000 to a live event, I don't think it's going to be easy to do. Live events are hard to sell. But that being said, I mean, typically what you saw was a quick influx initially, and that's the pent-up demand, and you'll always see that. And then people will wait for deadlines. So I think with your deadline coming up, you're going to see some more signups right before the deadline. And then what you need to do, this is what we talked about last week, you need to create additional deadlines. So you've got one deadline now, the price is going up. Well, you can have another deadline, you can have the price go up again. Or you can add in a special VIP dinner like, you know, or a follow-up series of teleseminars. So after this deadline goes by, you just have to do a series of deadlines. If you've got a month out from now, you should probably do two more deadlines, like another price increase, like just a couple days before the event, have another price increase, even if it goes higher than you ever expected to charge. You know, even if it's 50% more than you ever expected to charge, you need that deadline. Then add another, like a deadline, like the VIP dinner could be like, you know, everyone who buys by such and such a date gets the VIP dinner. Or everyone buys by such and such a date gets the extra teleseminars after the event. And, you know, and of course, this is what I was talking about earlier on the call. Everyone who's already bought also gets that stuff. So now you're just automatically over-delivering to those people and making them feel great about their decision, but adding in more deadlines. This is how you do it with a live event, is you keep on adding in deadlines. So if you've already got one coming up, you'll see a little rush right before that. But then, you know, come up with the next deadline and the next deadline. So I have at least two more deadlines, maybe three more deadlines. Also, a thing that's really effective is do a teleseminar. People buy live events off of teleseminars. So do a teleseminar. You know, we've been getting lots and lots of questions about this. I just wanted to give a preview of some of the material we're going to cover and answer some of the top questions, and then get on.
And do you suggest selling the event on the teleseminar?
Yes. Yes. I mean, you give 60 minutes of great content, and then sell them on it. And
okay.
I do the teleseminar right before the deadline, you know, the day before the deadline.
The day before the deadline. Okay, I see.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. One last question. When I had people out of the 2,000 opt in, I think I have about 200 people who said they were interested, meaning they opted into a sublist. And then I had them. I had the next page of asking them what's your intention. Are you just interested, or are you really intending to come? So I have about 100 said that they plan to attend, and still I feel I got just very low results. Or maybe
Well, the reality is, and I really got to move along. But the reality is that people take a long time to make decisions to go to live events because, you know, they have to carve the time out of their schedule. They might have to travel. They might have to book travel. It's a decision that takes a while to make. And so don't be surprised that, you know, you'll see those people come in, especially before that. That's the great thing about the deadlines, is it forces them to make a decision. So, you know, those people – and the other thing you can do is, since they're on your hot list – if you have, you know, you can follow up. I mean, if you have telephone for those people, it's another really effective thing, is to have people call them and try to sell them. And that's something I've done personally, but that's that's the way in the real world people sell seminar seats, is on the phone, by calling them up and selling them on the phone. Okay, next one. Hello, Beth.
Hello.
Oh. We're not.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's Scott and Beth. I'm on the chat speaker.
Okay.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're enjoying the class. My question is, I'm interested in learning about how you spend your time, how you manage your time, daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually. Because there's so much stuff that goes into these things, it's hard to prioritize.
Well, that's an interesting question. Actually, somewhere, maybe I'll release, I did a whole program on strategic planning. I go top down. I end of the year, the end of December, I'll plan out my next year. And it's not like it's set in stone, but I'll plan that out, and I'm usually looking at a couple, two, three big projects a year. I'm also locking in time, vacation time. You know, I cherish my vacation time, my time off, my time with my family. So that's all put in pen early on, right at the beginning of the year, the for sure time. You know, I'll usually take time at the end of the year, December, around the holidays, you know, take spring break is something that I don't ever mess with. So top down, you know, I'm looking at overall, and then it just drills down from there. Then I have quarterly goals and monthly goals, and I do not plan to be, or I don't pretend to be, you know, the uber expert on this stuff, because I have plenty of days that aren't terribly productive. In fact, I'm, you know, going through getting a bunch of coaching this year on being, you know, more strategic in coaching. But, you know, it starts off with that year-end planning, and really it's a year-end goal setting. And in my goal setting, I set up goals for all the different areas of my life, from, you know, professional to family, to spiritual, to community, to friends, to physical. And then I drive it down from there into yearly planning, then quarterly planning, then monthly planning. And
Jeff, when you were first starting, this is Beth. When you were first starting out, I guess is probably a better question. What did a day look like for you?
Well, when I was first starting out, the day was I would wake up and I would, like, take care of the little babies and I would change their diapers. And then that's literally what I was doing when I had two little babies at home and I was the primary caregiver. And so I was squeezing it in wherever I could. But one of the things I always did was every single day I made sure that I did something that day that drove, at that point, at the very beginning, before I was even selling stuff, I wouldn't let a day go by without doing something that would increase traffic into my business, increase leads into my business. And I find those kind of goals, when you're starting out, you know, you got to, it's like, what makes you money? You know, what makes me money right now? What makes me money right now is strategic planning, marketing, planning out campaigns. It's creating content. It's writing and creating copy, whether it's video, email, whatever. And it's further developing and solidifying and strengthening the relationships I have with my partners. So, you know, I'll have focus days where I'm going to focus on those things. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not going to clean off my desk. I'm, you know, not going to go research tech stuff. I'm not going to, you know, do anything but those focused things. And so I think you need to understand what makes you, what's going to build your business, and make sure not a day goes by that you aren't contributing to that.
And what did you outsource? I mean, were you, if you were a stockbroker, my guess is that you weren't an internet geek.
Actually, yeah, I'm not a typical, I didn't outsource anything at all, not a single thing. And I wasn't a stockbroker. I was never was a stockbroker. I was just someone who studied the stock market.
Oh, okay.
Never been registered, never been an investment advisor, no letters after my name. I just one day said, I know a lot about the stock market. I'm going to start publishing about the stock market.
Okay.
And because I published, people viewed me as an expert.
Okay.
And that's a secret right there. So, but I mean, I had no money. This is the important thing to understand. I had no money, zero. Like, I ran my business for 6 months without putting a single penny in it because I was publishing from my internet service provider. Back in those days, I didn't even have a domain name. I didn't have a website. And then after 6 months, then I spent money on getting a mailbox so people could send me checks. I had no money at all to spend, so I didn't. I'm not saying it's the best way to do it, but that was the constraint I faced. And, you know, eventually the stuff I outsourced, you know, I outsourced to my wife, which was, you know, basic customer service stuff and then basic, like, finance stuff. And I was still doing everything, building websites, doing all my marketing, everything else. Then I eventually outsourced tech when that got, you know, beyond what I could figure out. And then I outsourced customer service in a bigger way to Betty. And, you know, Betty was my first real person that I hired. And so, you know, I still did all product, and I still do all product. I still do all copy. Then, you know, I outsource more tech. But still, I run a very, very lean team. You know, mostly I'm, you know, design, which is funny since you can see the design of my sites is pretty ugly, so I don't, obviously not doing a good enough job with design, but design, tech, customer service, the primary things that I outsourced, and that's the order I did them in. I mean, obviously, customer service is, to me, is a critical thing.
Yep.
That you have good customer service, and I know, you know, some of the other people in this business that I'm in have horrific customer service, and I think it's a strategic advantage for me to have great customer service. But I just, you know, have one great person, and who's phenomenal. And then, you know, when needed, I'll bring in other people, but that's usually just right after a launch. But, you know, customer service is something you don't want to be doing as soon as you can get out of it. So hope that helped.
It did. It's just that there's just so much stuff.
Yeah, there is. I mean, I'd say, you know, design, tech, design,
you know, web forms, copywriting, autoresponders, testing it all, meta tags, Google, you know, I mean, it's crazy.
Right, it is. And, you know, I think the thing you need to focus on is your marketing. You know, some people just are awful at marketing. They just can't do it. But for the most part, you want to focus marketing, your relationship with your list, your relationship with partners. Those are things that I don't think can be outsourced very easily.
Right, right. Sure.
Yeah. Well,
I guess we'll keep on. How do we make an appointment to chat with you about our project?
Well, as I said earlier, I'll end up sending you off to John.
I don't want to talk to John.
What was that?
I don't want to talk to John.
Everyone talks to John first. No one talks to me first. Everyone. And I'm talking everyone, like Tony Robbins people talk to John first.
All right. Well, how do we get a hold of John?
John is email, and I'm sure he's going to love me sharing this. John is John, J-O-N, at JD2.net. J is the letter J, the D, the letter D, and then 2, the number 2, .net. And, or, yeah, that'd be the best. Or you can send an email to Betty. Betty can get over to John. But John, you know, John is not like some underling. He's my partner in that business. And he does... He does, you know, he's really good at keeping track of details and talking to people and figuring out what's what. So,
all right, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, next question.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. This is Frank from Minneapolis.
Hey, Frank.
Jeff, I have a question for you about our product launch that we're going to be doing here in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen guys, and I don't know if you've seen this, but I've seen guys, like, launch a product, and they'll say it's $497 for the first 2 days or for the first 1,000 people.
Yep.
And then the price is going to $747 for the next 2 days and 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to $997, you know, $997
yep.
for the last 1,000 mm-hmm. for the next, you know, 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, in your experience, are those very successful? And do you subscribe to... you know, that theory of doing it that way.
Yeah, I think they're effective, but I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like it just because it's just too arbitrary. Why should someone pay $500 one day and $1,000 the next day? There's no reason why. You know, in everything I do, you can always see I like to have a reason why. It just feels arbitrary and manipulative. And that might sound funny coming from me, especially because I do think it works. I've seen it work. Mostly with lower price stuff, you know, it's going to be $47 today, $67 the next day, $97 the next day. I think it works, but I just don't like the dynamic and how it feels to your buyers or prospects. I've never personally done it. I could be way off on this. I mean, I like, you know, to me, this doing something like that versus saying we're going to do this launch, and at the end of the week, it's going to, you know, we're having a 1 week special because it is the launch, and you know, obviously, we want to put a bunch of people in this right away, and get going and get moving along, and so we're going to have this 1 week launch special, and then you know, it's going to cost more after that. To me, it might be a subtle difference, but it feels a little different, and it feels better. I'd rather, you know, take away bonuses to spike people as you go through the launch. You know, we've got X number of bonuses, only the first people, you know, the first 100 people or 200, whatever the number is. I like it mm-hmm. that way. Like I said, I think it works. I've heard anecdotally that it works. I've personally never done it. I just don't like the feeling of it. And that might not be a really good answer, Mm-hmm. That's sort of my take.
Sure. Okay. Well, great. I appreciate the time and your candor on it.
Okay. You're welcome, Frank. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, folks, for going so long. I really didn't mean to take this line, but we're getting some really good questions here. Okay. Hello.
Hello, Jeff. It's Roy in Vancouver.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Quick question. I'm launching something in another province toward the end of June. It's a two-day boot camp for small business marketing. And I heard your comments earlier about getting, you know, bums in seats by virtue of a launch. And what I thought I would do, and I just want to kind of feedback on this, these folks that I'm approaching, and it's an area of probably anywhere from 700 to 800 people, have already seen me in a three-hour event. So they're kind of really warm prospects. And plus the fact that I have about 50 different chambers of commerce where I'm an own entity who will help me support and send it out to their members.
Mm-hmm.
Once I've contacted my newsletter list, which is my warm list,
mm-hmm.
and what I'm trying to get a sense of, would it be worth my while to do some preview teleseminars with all these people together, and just to kind of give them an idea, as you've said previously, getting some warm, some content to them about what's going to be going on in the event. It is a marketing event.
Yeah.
How small business can market. Is it worth my while doing that as a kind of a prelude to it, and also offering saying a deadline in terms of early bird, saying if you book by such and such a time, it's going to be X number of dollars, and then after that it goes up in price.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think both. I think teleseminars are a great way to sell live events, and I think having the price go up as you get closer to the event makes sense. And that actually, it might sound like it contradicts the last question, but with a live event, it's different, I think, because you have a limited number of seats. You have high upfront costs.
Yes.
So
I have 116 seats to fill, and that's the entire content of the lecture hall at a college. I'm doing it at a college that's off for the summer.
Yeah. So I think it makes sense discounting it early on because, you know, frankly, you know, the story is, and it's pretty much the case with live events, is you have upfront costs, and if you don't have costs, you have upfront obligations.
Yes.
And so, you know, you got your neck on the line if you've paid for that room.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's just real obviously we just want to put, you know, for people that act quickly, we're going to give you a discount.
Yep.
And then do it just like that other question I answered about the live events. Teleseminars are great, and then build in as many deadlines as you can.
Okay.
So
I'm not too far behind the curve. This is going on the 27th and 28th of June. So I have plenty of time, don't I, to kind of put this into play. The preview teleseminars.
Great.
So is there any kind of time frame that's more advantageous?
How far are people going to have to travel, and how long is the event?
The event is actually 2 days, and they're actually going to travel internally from that province. So
okay.
They have townhouses available on the campus where people can stay very inexpensively if they want to stay overnight.
Okay.
So there's some advantages to that, and it's very inexpensive. So that perspective, they're not traveling like five-hour flights or anything of that nature.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the golden time to start is about 6 weeks out.
Okay,
and
great.
I think most of the sales you're going to make are going to be between 2 and 4 weeks out.
Oh, very good.
And then there actually will be a little rush right at the end, too. It's amazing. Even when people are flying across the country, you know, because, like, when I did my Peel-Off live event, we sold that thing out way in advance, and then literally, like, the day before, I'm at the venue, I'm preparing, it's like 3 p.m., 2 p.m., the day before the event.
Yep.
And we had someone call, and they broke their leg. They're about to go to the airport, and they broke their leg. They can't make it. So we have a spot open. So it's not that big a deal. But then I get a call from Betty, like, 30 minutes later that someone called, and they wanted in no matter what it cost. And she had told them no. But I'm like, well, you know, we just had this person break their – so she was calling to see if it was okay to give away that spot of the person that broke their leg.
Yeah.
And this is like now 3 p.m. the day before the event.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a three-day, full three-day event, and this guy's calling from, you know, across the country.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, you get here, you can have it. And so people do come in at the last minute. But I think, like, I'd say start selling it 6 weeks out.
Yes.
And you're going to see most of your sales in a 2 to 4 week period before the event.
Before the event. Now, and a very last question before. Let's say I do sell out, get my 116 people, however many it is, to fill the place. Is it appropriate to kind of keep other people on a waiting list and say, okay, if something comes up, we'll let you.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
And that drives attention and kind of enthusiasm for it, too,
totally.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it helps the compliance and not having people drop out, too.
Indeed. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Appreciate you. You have a great program. I mean, I'm struggling with trying to keep up to it, to all of the information, because you know I do work and
right.
And,
right.
But I must say that you have brilliant ideas, and I appreciate the. I'm glad I'm a member.
Well, thank you, Roy. I appreciate that.
All the best to you.
You too. Bye. Okay. Just a couple more questions here. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, this is Ira Bloomfield. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Ira.
Yeah. Hey, just a question with you mentioned AWeber and all that. Can you give a little bit of more detail on the relative merits of AWeber versus One Shopping Cart versus using the shopping cart piece of One Shopping Cart and using AWeber for the list? And then what would you do if, depending on which way you go, like right now I have everything on One Shopping Cart. I have a small list.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 200, 300 names max. And, you know, is there a cutoff where you would never switch, assuming you think it makes sense to switch for anything? Is there a cutoff where you just say it's not worth what you're going to lose, or how do you mitigate not losing a lot of people if you switch, you know?
Yeah, okay. So in my experience, and this is – it's always a moving playing field, okay? But my experience is that I get better deliverability with AWeber than with One Shopping Cart. And let me rephrase that. I don't – have a list with One Shopping Cart, but in working with clients,
sure.
We get better delivery with One Shopping with AWeber, and also the email goes out when we want it to go. So we hit send, and 90% of the time it goes within minutes, and maybe the other 10% of the time it goes within a half hour. Whereas One Shopping Cart with a sizable list at all, you know, anywhere, you know, over a few thousand people, it can take up to 24 hours for that email to go out. So obviously with the timing of the launch, I can't deal with a 24-hour, you know. If you're sending a 24 hours to go, we're about to close the doors, you can't have that email delayed 24
yep.
hours. Now, you know, One Shopping Cart, they have a very robust system. There's some cool things you can do, but in terms of getting email delivered and get it delivered in a timely fashion, in my experience, in my opinion, I like AWeber better. And I, you know, so that's why I use AWeber. You know, the other thing is lots of people, they'll have lists at both places, you know, because you're always starting new lists, no matter what. You're always starting up with more lists as you segment your lists, as you come out with new products, new launch lists. You're going to start new lists. So you might have 200 people on your current list, but the reality is you're going to probably start new lists anyways. So, you know, in my opinion, every time I would go with AWeber instead of One Shopping Cart.
And if when you do switch, is there a way to mitigate the damage? And then
well,
is there a shopping cart you like, or you use the One Shopping Cart piece of it?
I don't personally use One Shopping Cart. The One Shopping Cart I use is called Synergix, Synergyx, and just put a .com on the end of that. It's not the solution for everyone. It's probably doesn't have as many features as One Shopping Cart, but I've been using it since, I think, 01, and I know the developer pretty darn well. I consider him a team member and a friend, and I can count on him. It's not a hosted solution. It goes on your server. I like it. You're going to have to spend more money for it, and you're going to end up paying to get it customized.
Yeah.
One Shopping Cart's very robust, lots of features. Lots of people use it. I haven't used it for my products, but I've used it for people when I've managed launches for them. It works just fine, and it integrates well with AWeber. So
you never really transfer anybody from one list to another. You would just eventually maybe sell them a product that converts them over.
Yeah, or that if you really wanted to move those 200 people over, you could just put together a really cool offer, a bonus report, and send them to say, hey, I got this really cool thing for you, but you know, and you need to go here and opt in here. Or you can send something saying, we just decided to change our list host because we just really like this other one to make it worthwhile to you to move over. Just go here, opt in here. I'm going to give you this cool free report. And then, of course, when people join the new list, go into one shopping cart, take them off the old list. But you keep on emailing the old list to the people that haven't moved over.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you, Ira. Okay, two more questions. We've got to make these really quick because this is going really long. Hello?
Hello?
Go on, you're live.
Okay, this is Noel from Newport Beach.
Great.
Cool. How you doing, Jeff?
Good, how are you?
Been waiting for my chance. I missed tidbits of the call earlier. I came back and I thought I heard, what's his name, Brandon Frederickson? Is that the guy? How do you spell his name?
Well, as he said, his name is Frederickson, and you know, you can guess as well as I do. I'm assuming it's Frederickson, but I'm, you know.
First name Brandon, because there are many ways of spelling Brandon.
Yeah, I would assume it's Brandon, but again, your guess is as good as mine. He just gave it to us over the phone, so. Yep.
Okay.
So what I have written down is brandon.frederickson@yahoo.com.
Okay. And then the other question is, you were talking about the live event in L.A. In July.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that a closed-door event? Is that a private event, or is that anybody can attend?
No, it's going to be very, very closed door. We're just looking at probably 20 to 30 people. And we really haven't even announced it, you know, officially or anything yet.
But. What qualifies one to be in that event?
Well, you know, first of all, it's going to cost money, and it's a very exclusive event, so it's going to be a fairly high dollar. And then I really wasn't even prepared to talk about it today. But we'll have, you know, a full set of criteria that we haven't, you know, completely finalized yet. But, you know, there'll be an application process, and I'll be sending out lots more information about it, you know, in the coming, you know, few weeks as we lock it all down. And then we'll have an application, and everyone will get tons of information ahead of time so they can make a decision on it.
All right, well, last question about about a mastermind. Would we ever develop a mastermind group for the members that you have right now?
Well, we're putting together the mastermind groups for everyone, and we'll be sending out information on those. I haven't gotten an update on where we are on that, but we're going to put those together, and we'll definitely be sending out information. You know, it'll be basically who the people are in your group, how to contact them, along with some tutorial information about how to.
Oh, I see. That's right. I blew my mind. I totally forgot about that. So it'd be announced pretty soon?
Yeah, basically. Well, and not so much a big fancy announcement, but we'll send you individual emails telling you who you are and introducing you to the people in your group.
Okay, that's good enough.
Good.
Thanks so much for the time, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, last question. And I really thought we were going to bring it in shorter than last week, but we're actually gone quite a bit longer than last week, but... Hello, go ahead. You've got a 509 number.
Yeah, this is Ryan in Washington. How are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you, Ryan?
I'm actually just wanted to say thanks for all your efforts. Thanks for being so patient with everybody. I really don't have a question. I just wanted to pass on the thanks for all that you're doing, sir.
Awesome. Well, you know what? That's a great way to end the call. You're welcome. And I really do enjoy these calls. I try to work it so my voice lasts. I was just at Frank Kern's event last week and completely lost my voice. Like, I couldn't even talk. And so it's sort of recovered by now, and I wasn't sure if I'd be able to go, but here we are at 2 hours and 20 minutes and still going strong. But I enjoy these, especially enjoy the live Q&A. I mean, those sometimes I know people get a lot out of me answering the slide, like the questions that are get sent in, and we get great questions in. But sometimes I bore myself when I'm just talking, so I really like interacting better. So anyway, thanks for your comment. I appreciate that, and we got a lot more good stuff to come. Also, for everyone, when I loaded up Module 2 last week, and Ryan, I'm going to go ahead and mute you here. When I loaded up Module 2 last week, one thing I forgot to do is tell you about all the extra bonuses we loaded. So on the main page of the PLF site, if you scroll down, and I'm not talking about the Module 2 page, but go to the main homepage and scroll down, you're going to see a bunch more bonuses we're adding. Some of them are really, really cool. So don't miss out on those. Just go to the main page, scroll down, and check out those bonuses, because there's some cool ones. And frankly, I'm going to be releasing, every time we release a new module, we'll release new bonuses on that page. So if I, in the future, forget again to tell you about them, just keep your eye out there, because you're going to see new goodies added periodically. And then it's not the biggest secret in the world, but there's, even beyond these five modules, there's more stuff coming. So you're going to be stuck with me and getting new great stuff from me for a long time. So just keep on checking the site. Our next module is released. I think we're releasing that Monday, May 4th. Let me take a quick look at the calendar here. Did I blow that? Monday, May 4th, Module 3 is released. And again, there'll be new bonuses, and we'll have all kinds of goodies. I don't have the next call in front of me right now, but we're going to be our third call. John will probably message me here in a second and tell me when that is. The application for the masterminds, we haven't put that up on the site, but we'll be doing that real soon. We're just getting caught up with all the new people. So we'll put up an application for masterminds. You can go ahead and fill that out, and we'll get you hooked up with the masterminds. John just sent the next call is May 11th. And then we're getting a lot of questions coming in about this Product Launch Manager certification. And like I said, I really wasn't planning on talking too much about that. We will have lots more information coming to you. We don't have an application available for that yet. But sometime in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be giving you a lot more information on that. It is a tremendous opportunity. Obviously, it's not for everyone, and obviously the spots are limited. But, you know, we have to do it that way to make it more of a workshop environment, make it a really where we can really be working with you one-on-one. So that's exciting. We're really excited about that. But as of now, the schedule is May 4th for Module 3. Then our next call is May 11th. And keep watching that site for new bonuses, because it's going to we're going to have to clear this up, because Betty's now telling me the mastermind application is up on the site. So we'll check that, and I'll follow up on the email. But that's about it. Thanks for hanging in there. We're at 2 hours and 23 minutes and 31 seconds right now, so that's sort of crazy. Next time I'll try to keep it a little shorter. Thanks a lot anyways. Really enjoyed talking to you all, and look forward to the next call. Bye-bye.